The Torah describes in the beginning of the Pasha the dialogue between Moshe Rabbeinu and his father-in-law. And at one point the Torah says, Vayikach Yisrael Chosein Moshe, Ola Uzvachim Lelukim, Vayavo Aaron, Vechol Ziknei Yisrael, Lecho Lechem, Im Chosein Moshe Lefnei Elokim. So Rashi comments, Mikan, She'anene Misuda, She'tamidei Chacham Mesubim Bo, Ki'ilu Nene Miziv Ashchina. One who has Hana from a Suda, where Tamil Chacham are present, Ki'ilu, they are being Nene Miziv Ashchina. Our yeshiva Torah Shraga, for the last number of years, has had the unbelievable schus and pleasure of having an outstanding Tamil Chacham, such as Harav Dr. Noam Gordon, who is sitting here, who is going to give the shmuz to us today. To me, he represents a model par excellence of someone who is Mishamish Gedol Yisrael. His shver, his father-in-law, was one of the Rashi Yeshiva in Yeshiva Saben Yitzhak Ochanan. And actually, I remember him from many, many years ago. His shver was a Rav in Europe and someone who was very connected to Eretz Yisrael. That's probably the understatement of the year. He was one of the leaders of the Mizrahi movement. At that time, the leaders of the Mizrahi movement were some of the Gedolei Yisrael. And his shver was one of the Gedolei Yisrael, a massive Tamil Chacham. I actually heard him darshan a number of times, and in Hebrew as well. And Rabbi Gordon Shlita served in his lifetime as a professor of math in CUNY, if I'm not mistaken, C-U-N-Y. But at the same time, Baruch Hashem was involved in the study of Torah at the highest of levels. He produced two svarim, which are classic svarim, of the Chiddushim of Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal and Maseches Gittin, that are kedai to look into and to learn from. And to me, to my mind, he represents the ideal Talmid Chacham. A model from many, many perspectives, someone who was able to combine and to somehow, Baruch Hashem, live in two worlds, but primarily the world that he represents is the world of Torah. There's a Masorah that we have here, and maybe Rabbi Gordon perhaps will be kind enough to speak about the Masorah. He has decided to essentially, at this point, at this juncture, not to continue in the yeshiva, and therefore we are really very makir tov to him, and we hope Mitzvah Hashem he should continue to go from strength to strength in all of his endeavors. As I said, to me personally, I, in his presence, feel as if I'm being nene miziv Ashchina. I'm literally in the presence of the luster of Hashem Yisbarach, both by virtue of his learning prowess, but beyond that, unbelievable menschlichkeit. I don't think I've ever seen such an individual with such a sweetness, with such a patience, with such a forbearance, with such a beautiful approach to all of us, to all the Talmidim in the yeshiva, and he was willing to work with Talmidim irrespective of whatever level they are, and that shows you a sign of an outstanding Talmid Chacham. And therefore we are very makir tov to him. We want to express our hakaras hatov to Rav Gordon Shlita and Mitzvah Hashem to his Rebbetzin, to his entire mishpacha, that should continue, all of us, all Klal Yisrael should continue to have unbelievable hanoah, unbelievable pleasure, but recognize that literally we're in the presence of the Ziv Ashrina.
Thank you, Rosh Hashiva, for your very kind words. Rosh Hashiva, Rabbeim, and Talmidim, I want to share a few things that I found inspiring in the hope that you'll find them inspiring as well. Different things, different areas, different ideas, stories. In this week's parsha, the prime event is the giving of the Torah, Matan Torah, Kabbalas HaTorah. It's a little bit out of season, but we come to the Seder with a pack of standard questions. And one of them comes from Dayenu, Se'ilu kervanu lufnei harsinai v'lo nosam lanu es ha-Torah dayenu. And one of the standard questions that the Seder is, what does that mean? If we had come in front of Har Sinai and not gotten the Torah, what's the point of that? How could we say dayenu? That would have been enough, go away without the Torah. What's the point of that? And there's a standard answer, which I'll give you first, and then I want to give you a non-standard answer that I heard. The standard answer is that Har Sinai is as expressed in Mamad HaNivchar, I guess the English translation, literal translation, would be the chosen standing. But I guess what it means is it was a very exceptional event by itself, standing in front of Har Sinai. It was an awesome experience. Kol Shofar Chazak Miod, Anan Kavir Al-Ahar. It was Gilu Shechina. It was the clear feeling of the closeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Besides everything that we saw and that we heard and we were inspired, there's another point to the experience of Har Sinai. That is, one of the 13 things that we're required to believe, the Rambam chooses and collects 13 of them, is based on the Pasuk, V'lo kam navi od b'Yisrael kamoshe. Asher Yudo Hashem Panim El Panim. We have to believe, it's one of the 13 essential things to believe, that there was never any other Navi on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Pasuk tells us that level was that he experienced Hashem Panim El Panim, with nothing in between, like one talks to a friend. He had that closeness to the Shekhinah. But there's another Pasuk. The Pasuk describes the giving of the Torah by saying, Panim b'panim diber Hashem imochem bahar mitoch ha'esh. The experience on Har Sinai, the experience of Hashem was panim b'panim. A little different than panim el panim, but the Rambam says it's the same thing. That the experience that we had on Har Sinai was the experience of Moshe Rabbeinu of Panim El Panim. No division between us, we had that closeness to the Shekhinah. So, Ilu Kervanu Lefnei Har Sinai V'lo Nasan Lanu Es HaTorah. If we have had that exalted spiritual experience of Gilu Shekhinah, being close to Hashem, we hadn't gotten the Torah, that would have been an unbelievable, amazing experience. That's the standard answer. I heard another answer from somebody told me over from Rabbi Moshe Tendler, another approach to the same question. What does it mean that we say in Dayenu, had we come to Har Sinai and not gotten the Torah, that would have been Dayenu, would have been enough. So he said, oh, we came to Har Sinai, of course we come to Har Sinai, we got the Torah. If we had come to Har Sinai and gotten the Torah. But what kind of Torah? It could have been a list. Do this, don't do that. Etched in stone. Boring. Uninspiring, but it's Hashem's will. We have to do this. We shouldn't do that. We would have done it. Nasan lanu es ha-Torah. Gave us the Torah. It gave us this vibrant, exciting. Walk into the Beis Medrash. You see excitement, feeling, atmosphere of the Beis Medrash. You are baying, all excited, all yelling. Some of the Talmidim all excited. You'll get there. You'll get there. Keep it up. It's ours. Nasan lanu es ha-Torah. Work on it, struggle with it. And one of my favorite things that I see in the Beis Medrash is when your eyes light up. You got it. It's yours. Enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is very important. Loving the Torah is very important. One of the rabbeim in the yeshiva where I learned, we called it RJJ, was the Yehuda Leib Kagan. Yehuda Leib Kagan, He's somehow related to the Chafetz Chaim, not sure exactly how. He's a beautiful man. And he made a point about this week's parsha. As you look, we're told right away, Rashi tells the beginning of the parsha that Yisroel had seven names. One of the names, Yeser, Yisroel, an extra letter. Why did he get an extra letter? Because he was Mizgayer. He became Jewish. He was not Jewish, became Mizgayer. Get an extra letter. Said Rabbi Kagan, but look, he got a whole name, Chovav, because he loved the Torah. For that he got a whole name. For becoming Jewish, that's one letter. For loving the Torah, got a whole name. It's all about enthusiasm. I was told that a new student in Yeshiva Har Etzion, of Aaron Lichtenstein's Yeshiva, greeted him with the following question. Why do we have to learn? He asked Rav Aaron, why do we have to learn? You got to answer. Somebody asks you that, you got to give an answer. But the right answer is, that you can't say, the right answer is, come sit down, learn, get into it, come to shiurim, learn the whole time that you're scheduled to learn. And in 6 months, if you still have the question, let me know. That's the real answer. But Rav Aaron couldn't answer that. You can't answer that when somebody asks. See, he said, why do we have to learn? Why do we have to breathe? Now, I understand that in the yeshiva there, they put out sweatshirts, and on the back they wrote, why do we have to learn? Why do we have to breathe? So excited about that answer. Excitement. It's all about excitement. Mesillas Yesharim has a lot to say about Zrizus, about excitement. Mesillas Yesharim, first he makes the point how it's important to be vigorous and excited in doing mitzvahs. You know, you influence everybody around you with the attitude to which you approach a mitzvah. Learning, davening, attitude. A family is inspired or turned off by enthusiasm or lack of enthusiasm. What's the attitude? You got to go to shul. Oy. Tired. What's the attitude that's presented? You get ready to do a mitzvah, sukkah, lulav. What is the attitude? Is there enthusiasm? Is it positive? You influence everybody around you, and primarily you influence your family with the attitude. Mesillas Yesharim says, with his deep psychological insight, it's so important to be enthusiastic. What if you don't feel it? Got to do a mitzvah. I don't feel that enthusiasm. I'm going to go to shul now. I've got to get up for chakras. I don't feel it. Says Mesillas Yesharim with his deep psychological understanding. You don't feel like it? Go run. Act as if. Make believe. You don't feel like going to chakras? Run to chakras. Do it a couple of times and the enthusiasm will come. Actually, it's Mesillas Yesharim. He was a bit later than the Sefer HaChinuch, but it's already a statement from before. The Sefer HaChinuch writes, Adam nifal lefi rov pu'losav. A person is influenced by what he does. Take a person, he writes, and have him do good deeds all day, and that'll become him. Take a person and force him to steal all day, and that'll become him. Adam nifal lefi rov pu'losav. Very important principle is our understanding about mitzvahs, about actual doing. Rosh Hashiva mentioned my father-in-law. My father-in-law told me, apparently, the banking system is different where he grew up than it is, well, today the bank system is totally different. There's such a thing called a teller. You ever heard of a teller? That's the person who's there in the bank. What's he doing there? There's a machine. You ever actually relate to a person, but it used to be that people related to people in the bank. They got paid, and you want to take out money, you give a check, and you withdraw money, and you put in money, you deposit a check. So my father-in-law told me that in Eastern Europe, apparently, that was divided up. There was one person who did the withdrawals. You want to cash a check, you'd go to him. And if you want to make a deposit, you go to him. So what they used to say in the yeshivas, the Musa yeshivas, was the man who did deposits all day, so all day he was taking money. And the man who did withdrawals all day was giving money all day. It'll be easier for him to give tzedakah because all day he's giving money. But the other guy who's taking money all day, he'll find it very challenging to give money to a poor person because he's used to taking money all day. Point being, Adam Nifal Lefiro Pulosov. The importance of attitude and enthusiasm, I've been talking about Bein Odom LaMakom. Let me talk a little bit about Bein Odom LaChavero. Very important Musa Sefer, which I feel talks to us, talks our language. We can understand very well is the Michter Milio, with Elio Dessler, who's Mashkiach in Gateshead, and then Mashkiach in Panovich. Rav Dessler has, in his multi-volume work, Michter Milio, he has a collection of articles about Chesed, Kuntres HaChesed. And his main point is that human activity in relation to other people can be divided into no sein and no tail, a giver and a taker. It's Bein Odom LaChavero, it's beautiful to be a giver in your relationships with other people. There are people, though, who are takers. That's not so good in Bein Odom LaChavero. And then he says, well, you know, it doesn't work. You can't only give. It's natural to give and take. You can't only give. As a matter of fact, if somebody sees that you're giving, they're a little bit uncomfortable taking from you. You make them uncomfortable. Just give and give and give. So, yeah, you have to give and you have to take. But the question is, what is the main thing? What is your main purpose in relating to another person? If you go to a store and you buy something, are you concentrating on the fact that you want to get that thing, or you want to help the guy out by paying him so that he can make a living? What is your main emphasis? And he has a story from Yisrael Salanter, a word from Yisrael Salanter that drives us home in a very strong way. Pasuk says in Bereishis, tells us very little about these generations, one after the other. Just tell, you know, he was born, he died, he lived this many years. But about Chanoch, it says, Vayishalech Chanoch es Elokim. Chanoch walked with Hashem. Ve'inenu kilakachos Elokim. And he was gone, Hashem took him. But what does it mean? By Yishalech Chanoch Esho Elokim. What did he do exactly? The Pasuk doesn't tell us. So there's a Medrash. The Medrash says that Chanoch was a shoemaker. He made shoes for people. And it says that when he made shoes, he connected up with Hashem. Miyached Yichudim Lekono. He was thinking about the oneness of Hashem. Connected up with Hashem. Here he is, you look at him, he looks like an ordinary shoemaker, stitching the shoes. But I want you to know he was flying. He was up there in heaven. So we imagine he was doing Kabbalah, thinking about the Malachim, thinking about Hashem. Right? While he was stitching the shoes, he was really flying up there. So we saw Salanta said, that would have been usur. Guy's paying you to make shoes. What are you thinking about these things? It'll take away, it'll distract you. You'll make a bad pair of shoes. You're not allowed to think about Kabbalah when you're making a pair of shoes. So what does it mean here? What does it mean, Vayishalech Hanoch es Elokim? What does it mean that he was Miyached Yichudim Lekono? So Rabbi Yisrael Salanta said, okay, somebody makes a pair of shoes. What is he thinking? This pair of shoes, I'll make $10. Make 10 pairs of shoes today, that's $100. How much will I make in a week? You know what? In 6 weeks, I'll be able to put away some money and take a vacation. That's a normal way of thinking when you're making a pair of shoes. What was Chanoch thinking? As he was making the pair of shoes, he was thinking, let me make it in a way that'll be most sturdy, will last longer, will be most comfortable. Let me make it as a no-saying, as a giver, giving to somebody else rather than as a taker. Let me think, same pair of shoes, same activity. You're doing the same thing, but it's the attitude. You do it as a giver rather than as a taker. I was told you, I talked to you about some things that inspired me. I have a story that happened to me related to this idea of giving and taking that I haven't fully absorbed. I have a long way to go to learn the whole mussar on this. Every time I tell it, maybe I move a little bit. So what happened to me is, so Baruch Hashem, I have children, grandchildren in to visit in America. Baruch Hashem, I have here some, and I have also in America. And so I travel quite often, several times a year, visit them. And if you travel quite often, you get a little bit of experience. Things happen to you, and you learn a little bit better about how to travel. So one time I came to the plane, and you know, you have your carry-on, the thing that goes into the overhead bin, and there's no more room in any of the overhead bins. And so they're going to take my carry-on away and put it with the luggage. Now, my carry-on is full of things that I don't want to go with the luggage. Talis and Tefillin, of course, but maybe a couple of Sfarim that are part of a set that I don't want to lose. Maybe some notes that I can't replace. Some valuables that I don't want to go with the luggage. So I have to take everything out, and then I have to carry it to my seat, and I have to have it somewhere. It's very inconvenient to have them take away the carry-on. So I learned from that experience. And from then on, I made sure to get online early, and then I'm making sure to get onto the plane, and I'm, you know, standing there, and you're, everybody's looking at me, and I'm looking at, they all have the same idea. They also want to get onto the plane fast. So there's a competition here to get on it. And you know what? Traveling on a plane is very, very, very unpleasant. It's become very unpleasant. Maybe some older people remember a time when it was actually a pleasant experience. Traveling on a plane was fun. But you know, with the taking your shoes off and emptying your pockets and being examined, you know, it's not really much fun. It's a very tense time. And okay, I'm getting onto the plane, and I'm trying to get on as soon as possible. And I come onto the plane, and there's no more. It's happening again. There's no more room up there. I go from one place to another, and then I feel somebody tugging on my carry-on. And somebody, I don't know who this is. I didn't even get a glimpse of him, because by the time he was finished, he was gone. By the time I realized what he had done, he takes his carry-on down, He grabbed my carry-on, put it up, and he ran down to the other side of the plane to try to find another place. I never saw him. I went to my seat. I said, hey, you can't do that. It's too late. He was gone. And I slumped in my seat and I thought to myself, here is a man who wakes up in the morning and thinks, what can I do for somebody else? Here's a situation. Here I am somewhere. I want to know, what can I do for somebody else? At a moment when everybody, at that moment, everybody's only thinking about themselves. After you've gone through security, and after you've gone through whatever it takes, you know, you get up very early, you're exhausted, whatever strength you have left is all about you. If there's ever a time. And this guy, at that moment, was just thinking about what he can do for somebody else. That's a no saying. I have a time. Let me see if I can get in this story. I'm working on that. That's a hard one to work on. That's a hard mussar. I had another mussar in a different area. This is now more Bein Adam LaMakom, more about learning. So this one, I heard from a non-Jew. This other very powerful Muslim message. I heard from a non-Jew, blonde guy from Oklahoma. He was the second blonde guy from Oklahoma in my life. The first one was Mickey Mantle. My childhood hero. This is the second blonde guy from Oklahoma. He was my thesis advisor at NYU when I was going for a doctorate in mathematics, Frank Hoppenstedt. And Frank Hoppenstedt was one of the professors at NYU Applied Mathematics. The head of the department was a Jewish man named J.B. Keller. I don't know what J.B. stands for there. But he was a brilliant man. He was the center. Keller, used to get a lot of money from the government for grants and distributed them around for the various professors who, a graduate professor, is supposed to do research. And they used to meet every afternoon for tea, and Keller would say, what are you working on? And give him an idea. I have something for you to work on, and do different research mathematics. And Keller was intoxicated with the love of mathematics. Many of you probably don't understand that. I don't have the time to explain it now. But it's possible to be absolutely in love with mathematics. And Hoppenstedt told me one day that he had asked Keller a question, not a mathematical question. He asked him the following. I remember I used to go to class. It was late afternoon, evening. The professors used to teach, and then they did their research. And he said to Keller, you know, I teach, and then I come home, and I start doing my research. And a few hours go by, and then I can't fall asleep. My mind is racing. I've been thinking. I've been concentrating. I can't fall asleep. Keller, tell me, what should I do? So Keller said, that's not what you should be trying to do. There's mathematics to be done. Why do you want to go to sleep? So can you imagine? That's love of mathematics. The love of the Torah that Hashem gave us. Now, I'm not telling you not to sleep. I'm not telling you not to sleep. Either of it, just the opposite. I asked my Talmidim, when does first Seder start? They say 9:15. I say, no, it started last night when you decide when to go to sleep. That will determine what your first Seder is going to be like. No, I'm not saying you should, it's not the right answer to just stay up and then ruin your next day. That's not right. But it's more like what Rav Soloveitchik said about the Akedah. Rav Soloveitchik said, what's the lesson of the Akedah? It's not that Hashem wants human sacrifice. Hashem does not want human sacrifice. So what's the lesson of the Akedah? The Akedah is that Avraham had to be ready. He had to have the attitude of being ready to do a sacrifice if that's what Hashem wanted. It's the attitude that's expressed here. It's not the staying up, but the love, the devotion. That's the main point.